is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We got a pick six in Jacksonville. Looked like Allen, maybe a little bit of life for Tennessee. They were driving 14-7. Got set back a little bit, but maybe in field goal range. And instead, Antonio Johnson picks it off and takes it back the other way. 20-7. Jacksonville up on top of Tennessee. We got about 8 minutes left to go in the second quarter. We'll give you an in-game update once the extra point is good. Mere inches away from having two defensive touchdowns in the AFC South, the Houston Texans, pressure on Riley Leonard. He is strip sacked. It is fumbled. The ball is bobbled and kicked back, and the Texans recover the ball on the half-yard line. For those of you that had a little bit on the Texans to, I don't know, score a defensive touchdown, you miss it, and then the next play, C.J. Stroud runs it in for a touchdown. Texans taking control in that game over Indianapolis. 20-30, I believe, is our score in that one.
20-30 when you're
sweating. 20-10.
20-10. When you're sweating and under 38.5 is not a great feeling for your boy right now. So things not looking good. In game number currently, Houston's laying two touchdowns, 54.5 the total. Two touchdowns does feel like a lot. I mean, they benefited from a short field, obviously, with the getting the ball back on the turnover at the 1 yard line. Now Indy's up to 14. Would you take Indy plus 14.5? No. Are you laughing at JJ McCarthy?
I am. So
it's so disrespectful.
So sorry, really quickly. No, I wouldn't. Just because the Colts offense has largely been generated by one Alec Pierce big play and a fake punt. And I don't think that's really something sustainable. They haven't really done anything down to down between. What I'm laughing about with JJ McCarthy is on a 2nd and 7, he's got a clean pocket to operate from. And by the way, they're in field goal territory, so we'll see if they can get something here. But he's got a clean pocket to work with, and he stands there, and then the defender just makes a beeline for him. He takes an unnecessary hit as he throws the ball away. I don't really understand what the logic was there. But either way, 3rd and 7 coming up for the Vikings there at the Green Bay 28-yard line. That is going to be short of the sticks. You're going to have a 4th and inches coming up in the decision make if you are the Minnesota Vikings, and I think they're going to go for it here.
Minnesota's laying 13.5. Total is 26.5.
That number has not budged.
And my analysis when it comes to JJ McCarthy, see, the problem with the way he plays quarterback is he's bad at it. He's really not good.
Yeah.
And I don't really see what other people see other than maybe like a little bit of an athletic guy. But outside of that, he doesn't put the ball on guys. He doesn't throw with touch. Maybe that develops and comes along. But if Minnesota wants to be a contender next year, I don't know if he can be your starter week one.
I mean, I think he's going to be considering what they invested in him, but I would generally agree. They went for a quarterback sneak. It was ruled a first down.
Ooh, I don't think he got that.
That is a very close that second push.
It's close, but I don't know if he got it.
I mean, either way, they ruled it a first down, so I don't know how you challenge it and get a ruling that goes in your favor. So that's going to be a fresh set of downs for Minnesota. 1st and 10 with 4 minutes left to go. That Green Bay's going to challenge him. I mean, I guess, look, it's not a lost game. You're already locked into the postseason. Just see, I guess, test exactly what's going on here with the challenge rules, what you can, what you can't do. And let's see what you can get here if you're Green Bay.
Dallas on the doorstep, 3rd and 6. They dump it off to Lepke, the fullback, and he brings it down to like the 3 yard line. So that'll bring up 4th and 3 near the goal line. They're up 10-9 on the Giants. I imagine they're going to go for it here. Yeah. Right now, the in-game total, JVT, sitting at 51.5. If Joe Milton were to come in this game at halftime at 10-9, wouldn't you think about the under here?
You would?
Yeah, with Joe Milton running around, potentially turning the ball over, facing pressure.
I mean, my question would be, if you're bringing in Joe Milton, I think you're drawing up.
You're letting it fly.
You're letting it fly. Yeah, I mean, you're throwing bombs. Yeah, you're trying to get it done. Now, that could lead to volatility in terms of maybe some turnovers, but also that could get you some short fields and whatnot. And,
well, this 4th and 2 would be big for the total right now.
Yes.
They're going to kick it. They're going to go up 4 with under 3 minutes to go.
Trying to draw them off sides.
No decently smart team ever falls for. I'm still laughing at the score, though, with Cincinnati and Cleveland. Browns up 14-6 with two defensive touchdowns, 55-1 for the defense to score two times in that game. And they're up right now. And it looks like the football is in Cincinnati's hands with 7:09 to go in the second.
All right, so two updates here. First off, as expected, Green Bay loses the challenge, 1st and 10 coming up from the Minnesota Vikings. My other question for you is, without a lot of receivers, Tyler Shuck finds himself in a 10-0 hole here with the New Orleans Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons. What do we do with Shuck? 3rd and 6 coming up for New Orleans, 9:05 left to go in the second. And again, too, we should note, Carolina Panthers watching this game with great interest and in a good spot here as the team they need to win is up 10-0. And as I say that, a receiver wide open on the left sideline. that is going to set the New Orleans Saints up with a first and 10 near midfield. But either way, do we trust Shuck to stay inside of a number in game here, lead a comeback? What's our expectations for the potential rookie of the year?
His pregame number was 227.5. The in-game number is 283.5.
That's seven. He's just at about 100 yards right now, 107.
But the problem is you're down double digits, which means you're throwing from behind. So as much as we don't trust the weapons he's throwing to, he's going to get volume.
You almost threw a pick right there. Yeah. But yeah, second and 10. No, you're right. Like the negative game script helps you if you wanted to go over there.
Yeah, so I wouldn't touch it. 283.5 is a lot. But if they're going to be losing, and I don't think Atlanta takes the foot off the pedal here because there's, look, I think Raheem Morris is coming back for the most part. But at the same time, I think he wants to prove that there's no doubt he should be the head coach. As JJ McCarthy just, I mean, off his back foot, throws it through. I think he was throwing it away, but if it was intended for Addison, he misses him by about 15 yards.
So 2 points really quickly. Dallas. Indianapolis is going to get called for a kick catch interference, I think, here as they were kicking this back over to Houston. And then Dallas, George Pickens, was that a drop?
Yeah, but it was short of the end zone. It wasn't going to be a first down or a touchdown, so it was kind of an irrelevant throw there. As the Saints just picked up a chunk play to pick up a first down with 8 minutes to go. They're deep into Atlanta territory now, potentially in field goal range on this play. I have to look up
those explosives. Thank you very much.
I don't know who that was. Whoever number 11 is. Good luck figuring out who's playing receiver for the Saints today.
I know they have absolutely nobody. It's been a really rough show.
Oh, Ronnie Bell, shout out to Michigan.
Yeah. All right, 10-0. So, by the way, to your point about the negative game script, the problem you run into right now for Tyler Shuck in that regard is you're still within shooting distance. Yeah. So, let's see. They're also, this is always a good indicator. We'll see what the yards per play is. Despite trailing 10-0, they're out gaining Atlanta by about 60 yards. So, that's going to be something where as you look ahead to an in-game opportunity, might be something worth looking at. Is they're outgaining them by 60 yards and in the red zone right now. So maybe some buy signs on New Orleans in this game.
Third and goal coming for JJ. What's he got? Something ready to go. Steps into pressure and, I mean, nowhere near a receiver. I mean, he was under a little duress. But
Jefferson was NFL open, I would say, in the right corner. So.
I mean, someone with touch can make that throw.
You're not piling on.
I just think he stinks. It's part like hate yourself. My evaluation of him going into the draft was I wasn't high on him. I thought I didn't understand the hype. Then for some reason, him sitting out a year created a mystique where I went, well, you know what? There's a chance with everyone around him.
Well, then he had that one good preseason game his rookie year. That's also, I mean, I'll just say this story and I talk about it all the time. I was just surprised by the preseason confidence in what he was going to be.
Yes.
Like there was a lot of people that believed and espoused that this was just going to be a lock it up. This kid's the best NFL quarterback within his first 2 years. He's going to take the league by storm. Vikings are sneaky Super Bowl contenders. And the fact that the actual result was so far away from what a good chunk of preseason expectations were. That's to me is what stuck out about what's happened here with McCarthy.
He was being treated as though he was stepping into a situation and he could just manage what was around him. And this team could contend to win the NFC, which is like, you're asking too much out of someone who didn't not only not play for a year, but also wasn't ready for the moment in any way.
Let's see. We have another, just a small injury update here, but Corey Levin along the offensive line with a bicep injury out for the Tennessee Titans. So that's just another piece on this offense that is not going to be available for Tennessee as they try to dig themselves out of a hole. And the field goal is good. McCarthy and the Vikings are up 6-0 over the Green Bay Packers. Clayton Toon, negative game script. Are we going to get back into this thing? What do we got? You're catching 12.5. It hasn't budged. It has not budged.
Total.
And what did I say? We talked about this name. It could be 13-0, right?
Yes.
That's exactly what this could be. And it turns out like this actually could be a reality here.
The total's 25.5. I think we have to go under. I know it's a horrible number considering what we had pregame, but we also didn't have the evidence that we have pregame that we've seen. Neither team is doing anything. 25.5.
So let's paint a picture here. It's 21.
You need 20 points.
Let's see. It's 21. It's 20-0.
Yeah.
Clayton Toon has the ball with 60 seconds left, trying to throw his way into this game. Pick six. Final.
Maybe
27-0.
I mean, maybe. He's gonna have the ball long enough to throw a pick six. Sometimes his drives are not really sustaining for Green Bay right now.
This week 18. My point is, this week 18 is so weird and so dumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good luck betting.
Getting under 25 and a half, and you're sitting there feeling good, and all of a sudden that happens. Colts, by the way, I think this was a good indicator, too, like we talked about. The down-to-down outside of the big play and the weird drive where they got a field goal out of it with the fake punt, Colts have had absolutely nothing here against Houston. This one looks like the Texans could potentially run away with it. Now, this is, how about this? This is where you look. Second half.
Parker Washington.
Parker Washington.
Huge play. About a 35-yard pass.
Okay. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Sorry.
That does nothing for us here in this live betting scenario.
I know, but I got excited about Parker Washington.
Okay. Anyway, the whole point here being, second half, if this team is up, and by the way, thanks to Parker Washington, if the Jacksonville Jaguars are up big at the half, are we looking for an in-game under C.J. Stroud passing yards as he maybe does not play the second half?
Oh, but even then, just to play conservatively with a lead. I think that makes sense because they could play with a lead here. I've got the Saints at the goal line right now, down 10-0. I have Taysom Hill anytime touchdown, plus 230. Can we get Hill in the end zone in maybe his last game as a Saint?
Third and goal. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what this adjustment is. I mean, it's probably the wrong time to do it, but a lot of these indicators, I actually kind of want the Saints to get turned away here. I would bet New Orleans to come back and win this game potentially.
Chuck on the move.
He's got the edge. He's got it. Touchdown.
He's in. Offensive rookie of the year.
We'll see. There's probably a lot of people that are excited about that.
I got 60-1. I'm into it.
Take our break and come back. Let's see what the Jacksonville Jaguars have on this drive of 21-7. The 2nd-and-1 coming up from midfield.
Ooh.
Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Clayton Tune slinging it around, unfortunately, on a 4th-and-24. They have to punt the ball away to Minnesota. A quick update here with 1:47 left to go. We'll get you some first half lines and discuss what the results were, but maybe something to monitor with J.J. McCarthy. As we know, the hairline fracture in the hand that kept him out last week on a quarterback sneak. Ultimately, doesn't get there, he gets there, but they don't get into the end zone. Maybe some worry about the hand. He hasn't really played particularly well. This is an ugly game. He is back out there. He is 4 of 11 after starting 5 of 5. I went under 213.5 passing yards.
I went under in the game, 25.5. I think we both can win with the way this is going. I don't see how Green Bay scoring. I don't think that how they're involved. And I think if Minnesota, who, if they score again before the half, I feel like it's likely a field goal.
Yeah.
It's going to be less throwing in the set. They don't want to lose the lead. So less throwing, more running, and they'll take the ball out of JJ McCarthy's hands. That was a pass behind the line of scrimmage.
I believe that was a pitch because that was definitely backwards. So hopefully that goes down to some rushing yards for Justin Jefferson. Every throw is so tight to the line of scrimmage, regardless what they're asking McCarthy to do. Really quick, want to get your thoughts here. So you mentioned that you were hoping for a little bit more offensive punch, as you put it, from the Atlanta Falcons on a 2nd-and-17. We'll see. That was a tight throw to the sideline, whether or not they're going to get yards out of this throw. Kind of a rough throw from Kirk Cousins as he leads his guy out of bounds. Yeah, that's going to be incomplete. So 3rd-and-17 coming up. My whole point here was the offensive punch has kind of come now from both teams, actually. So the only touchdown for Atlanta was courtesy of a blocked punt that was a 5-yard drive. Then you had a field goal drive after that. Touchdown from a 10-play, 65-yard drive from New Orleans in here. Do we maybe look at this game potentially going over was going to be my thought, but Atlanta has had really nothing on offense outside of a short drive because of a blocked punt. What are you scoffing at?
No, I was watching JJ throw it underneath to a running back who ran out of bounds. He can't push the ball downfield. There's no vertical game for JJ McCarthy. I don't want to pile on him. He's just not that good. It's not his fault. He just happens to be on the TV right in front of me so I can see how bad he's playing today. No, with Atlanta, I'm just a little disappointed because you know, I thought about New Orleans catching the points. I can still get plus 3.5 right now on them. But, you know, I questioned the lack of the weapons available for Shuck in this role. And then Atlanta's been hot lately. But to me, you want to fade them in a situation coming off a Monday Night Football win where if that's their high point of the season. Like emotionally, Atlanta hasn't felt that good in a long time, so I wanted to fade them, but I did think the offense could show up against New Orleans defense that I don't really love. Yeah. It's a good matchup for Bijan Robinson. Maybe that's more of what I'm frustrated about, is I went over 83 and a half rush yards because I just thought Raheem Morris, while all the reports say he's likely returning next year, you'd think someone wants to enhance their job security. You do that by putting the ball in the hands of your best player in Bijan Robinson and letting him run all over New Orleans.
So there's a couple of things here really quickly. First off, he is back on the sideline and fine, but Will Anderson had been dinged up a little bit. In this game, by the way, big play for through the air from McCarthy. So I'm going to get cooked here on this passing yards under already. Thanks for speaking into existence.
Oh, by the way, that is the thing that happens when I'm doing the in-game stuff. The second I say something good about something, something bad happens. Yeah. I say something bad, something good happens. I am the mush of life.
It's completely your fault. But the other is, and I think it was Jordan in the backfield for Houston offensively got a little dinged up too. But in a game in which, again, Jacksonville 3rd-and-1 coming up, if they're up 28-7 going into the locker room, what do we got, 2 minutes
21-7, they're on facing a 3rd-and-1. They're about to score again.
Yeah,
they're running. They were running Wildcat, but Lawrence is back under center.
My whole point here is, again, you're watching the scoreboard if you're Houston. If you start to accumulate and touchdown Jacksonville, if you start to accumulate some dings and dents on this roster, I'm pretty sure at half you maybe are looking to not wave the white flag, but you're pulling your guys out. Because here's the thing, you can still win this game potentially against Riley Leonard and the Indianapolis Colts, even if you go to Davis Mills, who has done a very good job for you in time serving as a backup.
Jacksonville's going to win 13 games. I mean, it's insane. Liam Cohen's not even going to be in the top three for coach of the year, and they're going to win 13 games.
You don't think he's going to be in the top
three? I want him to be. I bet on him. That's why I wrote
What makes you say that, though? Why do you declare that? I think he's got a shot at being in the top three.
I'm hearing a lot of hype. Vrabel, Shanahan. Yeah.
That's two.
Ben Johnson, what if they're the 2 seed?
What if they're the 1 seed?
What if Jacksonville's the 1 seed?
Yeah.
Well, then he probably wins it.
Yeah.
Do you think he takes it from Vrabel if they're the 1 seed?
Potentially, for sure.
I would hope so.
Oh, they didn't show a replay. I was going to say you should have seen this throw from your boy.
If the voters have the courage, they will give it to Liam Cohen.
That's right. I mean, look, I'm actually a big fan of like hardcore coaching jobs. Like I keep saying, I brought this up to Mitch on our Pod of the Futures, which, by the way, one of our many podcasts in the VSIN podcast family. You can check it out. Pod of the Futures, among some others. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate it. But I mentioned to him, how in the world does a guy like D'Amico Ryans with his defense and this winning streak to end the year carrying a limping offense to a potential division title not get more consideration?
I have him 150-1. I'll make the case right here. They start.
Who do you not have?
I only have like 5 bets in this market. Okay. And they're all pretty long. But, you know, D'Amico Ryans and the Texans, they start 0-3. They lose C.J. Stroud. He wins games with Davis Mills. Now they reel off this streak. They're as hot as can be going into the postseason. The defense is potentially top 1-2, at worst 3 in the league right now. I think D'Amico Ryans has an absolute case when you just look at the body of the work of the season, what he's had to navigate throughout the year. He's done as good a job as anyone else.
All right, as you are sitting around watching some games, right, it's the last full NFL Sunday. But you got to get ready for the postseason, folks, and you're going to be hosting some parties. No better way to host those parties and feed your friends than with Omaha Steaks. Absolutely worth it. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN.
Giants.
Go ahead.
Giants in the end zone. Gunnar Holmstrom. Oh, Daniel Bellinger.
Giants.
Sorry. Wrong, exciting white. Daniel Bellinger in the end zone. The Giants about to take a lead. I imagine they will go for 2 to try and make it 17-10 with 20 seconds to go in the first half.
Dueling rookie of the years right now. Offensive rookie.
Hey, I added Dart last week. I don't think he's dead. I think when they look at the end of the year and you look at the numbers he's put up for the Giants, I'm a Giants fan. I'm excited about Jackson Dart as the quarterback. That's the only reason why I think he's in the mix for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's been exciting to watch.
2nd and goal, and the Vikings punch it in. Touchdown, like Minnesota. 6-0 is now 12-0 with an extra point coming up, or 2-point conversion, depending on what they want to do. You see the odds for Offensive Rookie of the Year as Teteroa McMillan after yesterday, minus 350. It's a pretty good catches and fought really well against Tampa Bay. I think he's a rightful favorite. Minus 350, probably a little strong at this point right now. And I think my whole point, because I brought this up to Mitch last week on our pod as well, and I just gave him the naked numbers, right? Outside of context and the way these two guys are playing, if you just look at the accumulation of statistics Jackson Dart does have the better statistical profile, if you will, than when Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, he's done more. He's done more. And
he's also played in more games, which, again, you could say accumulation in that regard. But still, and the overall resume plus the fact that he plays in New York, I think, could give you a bigger edge than what the market is counting.
And he throws to Darius Slayton, not Chris Olave. Let's keep that in mind as well. Like, I think that plays a role, who you're throwing to. Now, the argument for Tet McMillan is, to quote a great philosopher, my husband can't catch and throw the ball to himself. Yeah. So Tet McMillan is, unfortunately, he'd probably have better numbers if he wasn't playing with Bryce Young. That's the reality.
Yeah. I think, you know, you get into the weeds a lot with that kind of stuff. I don't think voters are really looking at who they throw to or who they don't in terms of the quarterbacks.
No, it's about results.
Just, yeah, I think they're just looking at general numbers.
That's why Matthew Stafford, based on the results, is the MVP of the NFL this year. It's not even a question.
We'll get to that. Pass interference on Kayvon Wallace and the Houston Tech. Look at it again. It's Alec Pierce, dude. Dude, he absolutely broke this dude's ankles on a stop and go, and he had no choice but to drag him down. That was brilliant. Pierce is so freaking
when
good.
Is his contract up? I'm just curious because I would stop throwing him because you're going to have to pay him more money. He is a free agent this year. That's what I thought. Yeah. I'm looking right now. He's a free. Alec Pierce is about to make a lot of money. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be with the Indianapolis Colts.
They can sign. They can re-sign him. They like him there. Indianapolis likes Alec Pierce for just purely receiving reasons. And I think that he would be a very good weapon for them, especially if they harness the power of Anthony Richardson.
Come I'll on. Give you a game script prop that's intriguing. I just saw him catch a ball, so maybe we're not going to be able to get it right now. Tajay Spears receiving yards with Tennessee down. Game flow, it's 18 and a half. Where is he at right now? Tajay Spears, 4 for 11. Yep, that's the play. No doubt. I'm betting it right now. No, it's off the board. Tajay Spears over 18 and a half receiving yards. As soon as it repopulates, it's off the board right now during a 4th and 8 timeout.
75.
What's that?
And it's going to pop back up at 75 and a half.
No, it's 18 and a half.
They're going to know. They're going to understand. All right. Let's see. We're other tracking some other games. One of the least entertaining games, odd games at that. We should note that Cincinnati, thanks to T. Higgins, has cut into this lead. It is 14-12 with 18 seconds left to go in the first half. So Shedeur Sanders trying to maintain a lead here. Not really going well. Two defensive touchdowns, the only thing that the Cleveland Browns have to point to. You talk about some in-game opportunities. That might be one with the Cincinnati Bengals here as they trail by two. Current number is 2.5 in favor of Cincinnati. Might be actually something worth adding here. Let me look around.
2.5?
Yeah. Down by two against a team whose only claim to fame in this game is two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, you just clean it up offensively. You're taking care of business the rest of the way. You win this. By the way, two drives that were deep into the red zone as well in this game for Cincinnati.
So, right, they've moved the ball.
Maybe since the money line's minus 230. It's a little bit rich. I'm still waiting. 18.5 on Tajay Spears. Once it repopulates, I will be firing on that for the second half.
All right, we'll come back, give you some in-game updates, some halftime updates as well as we're in the locker room and more. Don't go anywhere.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
All right, a couple of updates here. We have a lot to get to. We're at the half. We'll give you some first half updates as well. But the Indianapolis Colts, Riley Leonard to Alec Pierce for a second time today. And we have a touchdown out in Indianapolis as the Colts currently trail the Houston Texans 20-17. 1:25 left to go in the second. In-game number right now. Texans a 6.5-point favorite. That is actually up to 7.5 now as I'm looking at it right. Plus 360 for Indy on the money line. I bring this up because, again, we just watched Cam Little trot out there and hit a 67-yard field goal to walk off in the first half and give Jacksonville a 31-7 lead. Why in the world, if you're Houston, would you bring anybody out in this second half with Jacksonville currently up the way that they are?
Well, the question is, do you believe D'Amico Ryans is going to be one of those people who lies to the media and says, we were unaware of the score, we had tunnel vision, we were just focused at the task at hand? Or do you believe at the locker room, someone's going to whisper in his ear and say, hey, Jacksonville is not going to lose to Tennessee. There's no point in continuing to fight this way. Let's get ready for the playoffs and make sure we're 100% healthy. Do you believe D'Amico Ryans is going to allow someone to influence him halfway through this game? Or do you believe he's going to pretend that he's not aware of the score?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. Yeah, bigger fish to fry. Yeah,
I agree.
So,
but some of these guys are liars.
I don't know why you're calling him a liar.
Some of these guys are liars.
But he hasn't lied. You're calling him a liar. You're
preemptively
preemptively calling him a liar.
Preemptively planning for him to be a hardo and say, look, we line it up. We try to win these ball games. We just play who's in front of us. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle
it. I'd be pretty interested. Let's see if Houston, I'd be curious to see, because he loves Kyme Fairbairn too, and they're just outside of field goal territory. I'd be very curious to see. I think this is what we want. We want the Houston Texans to get a field goal here to go up 23-17, get a little bit more out of this. And I think you could take a little piece of the Indianapolis Colts on the money line.
I would tell you, Riley Leonard just threw two balls in the red zone, into the end zone at the goal line. And one was missed by Michael Pittman. He had to lay out for it, but it was perfectly put on where only Pittman could throw the football. And then the one that was the touchdown to Pierce, by the way, Pierce two touchdowns was 55-1 today. I thought it was as perfect a ball as you're going to throw in that spot. Like, there's a lot of regular starters in the NFL who struggle when the field shortens up, when you're at the goal line, and finding ways to throw it so their receivers can catch the ball in the end zone. He put two right on the money there for Riley Leonard. I like what I'm seeing. I'm with you. If Houston does do what you're anticipating here, I'd go Indy plus 7.5 and then take a little money line.
All right, do me a favor. As we're doing this right now, I want you to put on your best cashing out hat and bloviate for about 45 seconds for me.
All right. JVT is wearing a purple shirt, which I am a fan of. It goes with his. Oh, you meant about football. Yeah. Well, here is Indianapolis.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Indianapolis and Houston. Texans are about to add to the score. They just completed a pass over the middle to Hutchinson. Looks like he's down at about the 30-yard line of Indy. 44 seconds remaining in the half. Texans do have a timeout. 20-17 they lead. So before we look at betting Indy, we have to make sure Houston doesn't add on, because we could get a better number here. Throw underneath.
No, we want Houston to add on.
That's true. You're right. In the moment.
I mean, I'd prefer a field goal, though.
No, they're going to settle for a field goal.
I want the most out of this.
But that's a penalty.
The sweet spot is a field goal. It's still a one-possession game, and then they bench their starters, and Riley Leonard tries to go ham.
I don't hate it. 2017, 32 seconds ago, Houston just used their only timeout. That might be a mistake, because if they throw it inbounds, can they get everything in order to get the field goal unit on there if they try to make a couple of plays happen from here on out? Number in this game, it's 8.5. 58.5 is the total. I'd also consider an in-game under following this drive, depending on what Houston does. 58.5 does feel like a lot, but you're also listening to someone who's about to lose his under in the first half of this game, where I went pregame under 38.5.
What's this, 37, and you went
under 38.5?
I mean, you never know. Miss and then a complete another shutout in the second half.
Yeah, seems very likely today. For sure.
I think you could get there. You got to believe here at this point, right?
Is that the only game going on right now? That's the only game in action right now.
That's why I'm calculating some of our first half scores here in comparison with where our first half lines.
All right. Well, I'll just run you through it. 2nd and 7 coming up for Houston. They throw to the outside. I think he's just short of the first down. He is. So the clock stops, though. 3rd down coming. And for Houston, if they throw over the middle, they should have enough time to get to the line and spike it at this point. But 3rd and 1 coming for them. They actually have a chance to score a touchdown if they can manage this thing right. If they can hit guys on the sidelines, maybe make a play or two. You might have one shot over the middle right now with the clock just under 30 seconds. Numbers up to 9.5. Houston's laying it. Total is still 58 and a hook right now. So big 3rd down coming if we want to place a bet on Indy.
Love a big 3rd down.
And that is a run up the gut, which is interesting because they have no timeouts. So they're settling for a field goal. They're fine playing for a field goal and going into the locker rooms up by 6. Now, who got the ball first in this game? That is the question.
Yeah,
I'm going to go look. Opening drive of the game was Houston. Indy will begin with the football. So our best chance will not be to wait. We'll have to look for something to bet right away if we like the Colts here. As we await Houston with 15 seconds to go, they may run one more play before Fairbairn. They just spiked it. 15 seconds left.
All right. So quick update for you. As our first halves are coming to a close, we have a even split in terms of the ATS in the first half. Favorites go 3-3 against the spread. One dog wins outright. That would be the New York Giants, who covered first half 16-10, win the first half, I should say. That's an interesting aspect, because a lot of people, the thought was Cowboys first half, the game closed 3. Dallas was a 3-point favorite in the first half.
Yep.
So this thought was Dak Prescott starts, leads him to a lead. Second half, potentially for the Giants, you come in and you bet New York. That goes awry as the Giants have a 6-point lead at the break. Favorites, 3-3 ATS with, again, one dog winning outright. The totals, 4-2 edge to the over so far today for the first half. Your two unders to this point, Minnesota and Green Bay with a total of 19.5 in the first half. That stays under, and Atlanta, New Orleans stays under as well. And how about that? Atlanta, double check that I have this right. Yeah, 10-7. They just barely hold on. They were 2.5-point favorites here at Circa in that one in the first half.
All right. Houston settling for a field goal. No. They're going to run one more play on third and 10.
They got seven seconds. Yeah.
Let's see what they do.
A shot at the end zone. You got plenty of time. See if you can get it in there.
Just going to set up a shorter field goal.
All right.
All right. We can get four and a half to one on Indy plus 8.5.
I mean, you got to go. Are we going to go 8.5?
I think you do a little on the 8.5. A little bit on each. Play it safe here.
Let's see here. Get this thing up there first. Yep, 23-17. 8.5 minus 110. Oh, they locked it on me. Waited too long.
I got 8.5 minus 108.
Okay, good job.
Come on, got suspended.
Yeah. See, this is... Okay, so we talked to Derek about this. This is going to be the interesting thing about... Okay, so it's back up. I'm going. The interesting aspect about like what these second half lines... I was looking at MGM. The interesting part about these second half lines is what they're going to do with them as we move forward. Because again, you got to play some of these situations. Do you even hang up some second half lines knowing what we're discussing, which is with the game out of reach for Jacksonville and Tennessee, everybody's thinking what we're thinking, which is at some point, Houston's going to see the writing on the wall and say, we're done here. There's no point. Let's pull these guys out. We don't need to do this. I would assume that starts right in the second half, but you don't know that. So the challenge, I talked to Derek about this, the opening segment, the challenge of hanging these second half lines is going to be pretty interesting.
I just think he's kind of a hard-o, D'Amico Ryans. I really don't know how he approaches this. I genuinely think that there's a chance he lets these guys go a little bit longer here.
I see. I think generally sure, but your backup running back already got dinged up. You saw Will Anderson get a scare injury-wise as well. Daniil Hunter was on the sideline already. They showed him with his helmet off, just kind of standing there on defense. So I do wonder if they're already starting to do that, the slow roll, and that you're not. Here's the other thing, too, that works against me. Here's the part that we should know. Davis Mills went 3-0 for them this year. So even if you get this situation where we're right, Davis Mills is still adequate enough to pick apart a Colts defense, which has multiple defensive backs on IR, and is not particularly great. So we could play the game correctly and still get burned.
I argue there was windows of Davis Mills where I questioned whether or not CJ Stroud should be the starter for this team this year.
I'm not that crazy.
No, there was moments where Davis Mills was operating this offense at a pretty high level, something I did not anticipate. All right, I got Indy 5-1 plus 8.5 on them. So we'll add that to the in-game numbers.
Sorry, I let my thoughts. Aaron Gordon is back for the Denver Nuggets. I don't know
what I mean, you're the only one excited about that right now.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, literally.
I saw excited people tweeting about it, so that's a fact that I am not.
You're the only person in this room excited about it.
That is a fact. There you go. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, second half about to be underway. Minnesota and Green Bay 13-0. Vikings with the lead. We went under 25.5. It's now 29.5. Minnesota's laying 19.5, JVT. That's a huge number for that offense, the way it's looked to be laying. But, I mean, how does Green Bay score? Other than a McCarthy, like, interception or fumble.
Does Ian Rappaport know something we don't? He tweets out the clip of Jackson Dart's touchdown pass of 30 yards to end the half that put him up 16-10. And he says, a little splash to end Jackson Dart's promising rookie season. Is Jackson Dart done for the second half?
Is he being paid by an agent to manipulate the voters and the public thought of Jackson Dart?
Is he being paid?
Is he getting an agent looking out? Hey, look out for me.
Accusing him of something.
Maybe not get paid, but hey, make sure you remind everyone that Jackson Dart's having a great year.
Hold on.
What?
Okay, I got. What? So we had a report. Okay, I have something. I don't know what's happening here. Maybe some breaking news. Some college football breaking news. A quarterback at the transfer portal allegedly landed somewhere, but now he's allegedly somewhere else. We'll find out. I don't think it would be crazy. By the way, Joe Milton in at quarterback for the Cowboys.
Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Couple of updates as we are entering the second half for a lot of these contests. For those who weren't with us just a couple minutes ago, Joe Milton has officially taken over for the Dallas Cowboys, and that takeover has led to a 3-and-out. So, New York Giants already back in control. Milton on the drive, not asked to do much. It was a run up the middle, and actually got started with a hold. Then a couple of runs, a scramble, and an incomplete. So, Joe Milton is going to start his day with a punt. Giants have the ball right now. Also mentioned that I did lay the 3.5 in game for the Cleveland Browns, or excuse me, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals against the Cleveland Browns. Not a great start. Second half. In the first half, the Cleveland Browns had two total first downs. They have three already on this drive, and they have a second and goal coming up against Cincinnati. You were looking at something here.
I just took Cincinnati minus 1.5. However, Raheem Rocket Sanders just got that ball, took it down to what, like the 4-yard line? I have Rocket Sanders to score anytime touchdown plus 235. I'd love them to see here on a third and goal. Play it conservatively. Keep it on the ground. Field goal here. I don't know if they settle for a field goal here. But use the run game. Don't let Shador throw it. Don't let Shador mess this up.
How about this for a beat? I didn't realize this. Cam Ward. You know what his season yardage was for passing yards?
Oh, no.
It was 3,200. He needed 74 today to get over. He got 52.
That's a tough one. that is a tough one if you bet that, because you felt like coming to this game, hold on, they're going to be losing. They're double-digit dogs on the road. He's going to have to throw it a ton. Even if he has the worst day, he's still going to clear that number.
Okay, here's my question for you. As we're watching the Jags back out on the field against the Tennessee Titans, and Trevor Lawrence completes this, when are we betting Trevor Lawrence under his passing yards?
Well, at some point, he's going to come out of this game.
Correct. That's the whole logic.
It has to happen. But has the number adjusted anticipating that just yet? Because, I mean,
they're going to hang it up here.
They have to know. They have the football, yeah, so we're not going to see till they don't have the football. That's usually what they do. Third and goal from the 9. Cleveland took a penalty. I'm not sure the thought behind that. And Shador is sacked at the 9. So we got that minus 1.5, and you got minus 3. And I still think you're minus 3.5 on Cincinnati's fine. I think Cincinnati's going to end up taking command of this game here in the second half.
Oh, you know what? This reminds me, by the way, as we're going to wait to see what they're going to do here on fourth and goal. A little bit of big news here. I mean, am I going to get screwed on this? So there was a big absence for the, is JJ McCarthy hurt?
I don't know.
Second and 2, and he's coming out of the game, and he's shaking his head.
Hold on. We already have an under in that. I would add another under in that game if I can get it. If I can get another under in, it's off the board. Oh God, what are they going to unveil this at? I'm seeing 26.5 at DK. Max Brosmer is in the game.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's the last game of the season. It's a meaningless contest. Do they try to put him back out there? Or do they just say your day is done? Am I going to luck into an under on this passing yards prop?
I think you are. And well, no, that's not luck. Part of your bet for it was that you thought you saw that,
his day might be
that his hand was injured.
Off. His helmet's off.
Yeah, no, dude, you didn't luck into this. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, McCarthy might be done.
He's done. He's
so
done.
So they're showing a replay where he threw just a quick bubble screen. Yeah, dude, it's the hand. He can't. He is done for the day. So J.J. McCarthy tries to throw a quick bubble screen out to Justin Jefferson. The second he throws it, he's waving this to the staff and pointing at his hand and shaking his head. His helmet's off right now. Brosmer's in.
Wait.
It looks like his day might be over.
Why is Minnesota laying 20.5? Is something about to happen on this play?
I mean, you might get a little bit of a big play here. There are a couple of plays ahead, but it's also, I think,
20.5
factoring in how bad Clayton.
No, I know, but it's Max Brosmer now. Like, as bad
talk
as
he beat the Lions. What are you talking about?
As bad as McCarthy is, like, Max Brosmer's a different level here.
I have one number that I know. One. He's 1-0, buddy.
All right, that's fair. Shout out to Minnesota.
Yeah,
and now, where was he before? Like New Hampshire or something like that?
Why do you ask questions you don't know the answer to? I don't know the answer to.
Well, you know these things.
All right, I'm trying to find out what's going to happen here for Trevor Lawrence.
New Hampshire, I nailed it.
There you go.
Money.
One of the news.
I just ask questions to prove that I know stuff. I act like I don't know.
Dude, that's a huge development. Holy smokes. Wow. So J.J. McCarthy might be done for the day.
Let's see if we can
get watching this, by the way, for audience. He's just standing on the sideline watching the drive. He is out there. So I'm going to assume that his day is done right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? Like, that's what I would ask him. What is the point if he's already dealing with all these injuries and his hand was banged up as recently as a week ago? Like, yeah, no, dude, he has no helmet. Look, he's just standing there right now. Look. Yep. He's just standing there with his hands behind his back, watching the offense work on a third and 2 from their own 30. There's no number on the board, though, at least from what I'm looking at right now.
I do think I interrupted you. We should note that the Browns field goal was good. So they are up 17-12 right now in that game.
Did the number move there at all? It's 2.5. Cincinnati laying 2.5, 47.5. They're down by 5. They would go for 2, right, you think, if they won? Yeah. If they got a touchdown.
Yeah, we're done here. He's not even... He's not even using his hand.
He's putting his right hand behind his back.
He's using his left hand to dap guys up.
Green Bay plus 18.5.
Wow. That sucks.
Does Green Bay need to score to cover 18 and a half today?
I would say yes. When you got the baller Brosmer in there, I would think that you need
the baller Brosmer.
You need every point you can get.
Oh,
I mean, that's a good point.
I don't know if they do. Two more field goals. See, all right. Unfortunately, three more field goals take us out. Two more won't. Totals 25 and a half, heavily juiced to the under at minus 160.
Yeah. Holding his hand behind. I'm trying to find some updates as to see. Didi Kikawala actually just did a sideline report, but obviously we can't hear it. So I want to see if maybe there's something.
All right. Well,
official.
I went under in game 25 and a half. It's 25 and a half again. I still like it.
I mean, yeah. How about this tweet? This is from Matt Schneidman.
Yeah. Covers
Green Bay Packers. You're a real sicko if you have Clinton Toon versus Max Brosmer on the TV right now. It's our main
it's our focal point. It's the only TV we have a perfect view of as the Giants are about to drop in the draft order.
No, it's not about the Giants. It's about Jackson Dart, buddy.
Well, no, that Tyrone, did he throw that? Was that a pass?
I believe he did. I thought he did.
Oh, to Tyrone Tracy.
Let me double check here. I think that is exactly happened.
There's a flag on the play. I imagine it's excessive celebration because I see a lot of hip thrusting coming from Jackson Dart.
Well, how many pumps is it allowed to?
Yeah, I think it's two. As we learned the hard way.
It's only two. I believe I saw him catch that in the back of the end.
You might be right. And there's a scuffle on the field.
How much you want to bet? So this is how stupid these awards markets are.
Are they up
how
right much, now?
No, not for rookie of the year. They always keep up MVP, but they don't update these ones. But how stupid they are. Are we willing to bet that Jackson Dart is either the second shot or tied for the favorite after this game? Oh, during the week, as you the betting market said, nope, 22-1. Our boy's cooked.
I bet him right here, 25.
And then now after this, we're going to see that he's the co-favorite with like Tedaro. It's going to be a three-way tie between Tedaro McMillan, Tyler Shuck, and Jackson Dart. My point here being is that the awards market,
it's not real.
Stupid.
They don't it's know, not they real. No, no, it's not real. It's not reality. It's not reality based. It's just. They're just reactive. They're
update
just
the box score. What are we doing?
But also, like Jackson Dart against this Dallas defense, week 18, it makes that big of a difference. Who had the bet? Like, I don't know. I don't know what makes the biggest difference here between him, Shuck, who's in a competitive game without any of his receivers. Does that play a role in what his campaign is for offensive rookie of the year? Because that apparently is a thing. If you don't have good weapons, all of a sudden that means you know you did more. You deserve awards here.
By the way, that was a pass from Jackson Dart.
It was a good pass.
So we don't know if it's official or not. They won't update the score, but that was, if it stands, a touchdown pass from Jackson Dart.
Well, but more importantly, I mentioned it when I saw the touchdown as a Giants fan. The New York Giants, currently the second pick in the draft, they win this game. There's a chance they're falling, man. The Jets are 3-13, although Tennessee's not going to move. Arizona's not going to move. Cleveland.
You don't know that about Arizona.
Yeah, I guess.
We just watched the Rams lose to the Falcons.
Okay, so, all right. You don't know that. The Giants are at least going to move a couple spots here because I don't anticipate Tennessee or the Jets winning here.
Yes, there we go. I mean, the Jets, I don't know. They're secondary.
Riley Leonard!
Alec Pierce again! He's going to be down at the one, but he's cooking this Texan secondary, man.
The Bleach Brothers.
Come on now. That's a good name, by the way. But also, like... I mean, we're going into free agency and Alec Pierce is putting his best foot forward right now.
Riley Leonard might be your starter until Daniel Jones is ready next year.
I'll tell you why. That was actually a terrible throw. That should have been a touchdown.
There were a couple short ones.
He completely burned the secondary. Riley Leonard rushing touchdown. Riley Leonard.
Did you get that?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's
go. Come on now. All right, come on.
What was it? Like 4-1? 3-1?
I got 375.
Ooh.
So let's go, dude.
Clayton Toon with a first down pickup with his legs.
Here we go. Colts right now. We got 8. We took 8.5 right before.
And money line.
Now, come on now.
5-1 money line?
Let's get this done.
Hey.
Let's get this done.
Well, how about this? Let's see what Houston looks like on offense on this drive.
Yeah, we haven't had any confirmation or as to what's going to happen with their offense.
I mean, I'm a big, like, if we have 5-1, they have the lead. And then if Davis Mills comes out and the market overreacts, I will definitely consider Houston at a money line price.
The long-necked Davis Mills?
Yeah, I mean, I like Davis Mills. He's impressed me more than I ever anticipated him impressing
Let's
me, but
go,
I would fade.
Buddy. Let's go. Wow, Clayton Toon's moving the ball. He's actually passed his own 20.
He's out of his own red zone.
There we go. All right. Hey, folks, by the way, go to VSiN.com, check out everything I have to offer. If you want to get set for post-football, post-season, basketball, golf, we have so much stuff that's getting started here in the next month leading up until May 1st. Make sure you're ready for it. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Daily best bets, the betting slips from DraftKings and Circa, player prop projections driven by AI, and more. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up today. $79. It's everything we do until May 1st.